Jesus looked at the crowds and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. We find in the Hebrew scriptures, as we do in Jeremiah today, that the leaders of the people, the kings, were often referred to as shepherds. And in the spiritual tradition to which Jesus was heir, the rulers of the people were often terrible, terrible shepherds. In the time of Jesus, this continued to be true. We know what life was like. The poorest of the poor were the most numerous. They were taken advantage of. No one really cared about people for their God-given goodness, but only what they could get from them. Boy, have things changed? Much at all? I won't even name some of the shepherds we have today. But one of the key things about a good shepherd is that a good shepherd brings people together. There's this unity, there's this community. The prophet Jeremiah was clear that God would not allow such poor shepherding to go on forever, but that God would gather, bring back the people, and give them a good shepherd. And that shepherd would be about justice and righteousness. As Stephen Edmondson writes in his commentary on this passage, God's restoration of God's care for God's people does not bring us to the end of time. And I think this is key because so often people have the idea that what we're about in here is about only about heaven, only about the end of time, and that is not the case. Does not bring us to the end of time, but provides for the care of these people through shepherds in the midst of time. Jeremiah's prophecy offers hope to people in distress. And in Jesus, as Christians, we find the shape of this hope. More specifically, the prophecy promises a messianic king who will gather God's people, execute justice, and establish peace in the land. So often we do think of Jesus as the king of love and our shepherd in the spirit of Psalm 23. And these are words of comfort for us. We often think and we often hear at funerals at the time of death. And indeed they are. But they are also words of comfort for us in the midst of our very busy, busy lives. When we are at times ourselves and those we know and care about in the world harassed and helpless. Douglas King notes in his commentary that the promise of God's shepherding does not remove the suffering of the world. This is another key point that we have to talk about amongst ourselves and share with others. Again, often people think religion is nothing because, well, if it were true, why isn't everything great? But no, the promise of God's shepherding does not remove the suffering of the world. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the existence of the shepherd is a demonstration of our need for protection from what can harm us in this world. So it's about being aware, God's gift of shepherding from Jesus, from each other, reminds us of how much we need a shepherd, a good shepherd. Being aware of our need for our good shepherd and the power that God has to help us, comfort us and hold us close can make all the difference in our day-to-day lives. Spirituality is exceedingly practical as well as being beyond our understanding and containing grace beyond what we can even imagine. In the realms of what is mystical, we touch on that which we cannot hold but feel briefly. And in that brief moment, we know we are free through Christ and in Christ. as we walk the very real streets of our lives with Christ. Evelyn Underhill, who in 1911 wrote this book, there's the publication of her amazing book at the time and really sort of shattering of a lot of people's ideas, entitled Mysticism, A Study in the Nature and Development, of course she's a person of her time, so she says, of man's spiritual consciousness. She claimed a place in everyday life for spiritual encounter with God. She wrote, "Yet it is to you, practical man," that's all of us, practical man and woman, "reading these pages as you rush through the tube," she was British, "as you rush through the tube, that this message so needed by your time, or rather your want of time, is addressed." So be that in the time of Underhill or Jesus or our time, we are invited by God to relax into the shepherding love of God, to relax at least from time to time so we can be held up for all the good work we do, relax into the embrace of God. And just look at our gospel for today. It did not take long for people following in the way of Jesus to get overwhelmed by their doing. And in many cases, relying on their own, as we do, relying on our own strength, limited as we are. Just imagine that gospel scene we heard about today. The friends of Jesus gather around him. They've come back. And they tell him all that they have done and taught. They've been so busy with their coming and going that they did not even have time to eat. But they got a lot done. Hey, doesn't that sound a lot like General Convention? That's that huge meeting we're talking about after church today, where you're coming and going, you don't have time to even eat, which is really almost literally true there. But it can also be true in our own lives. How many times have we rushed from one thing to another and just grabbed a little something here and there because we just didn't have time to really cook, really appreciate and love and live into the goodness of the world, but we're just coming and going. Well, okay, so remember the scene again. They come back, they're so excited. Jesus, we've been doing all this, we've been teaching, it's been so great. We might imagine Jesus would have said, "Good job," right? Well done. What about going to that next village? I have to admit, we do this here in the church, right? There's so many sign-up sheets in the back of the church today for you to do so many things. I have to apologize for that, especially in the context of this sermon. But no, that's not what Jesus says. He doesn't say, go on to the next thing. Keep on trying so hard. You can get it. One day you'll get it. He doesn't say that. He says, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. What grace. What an invitation. And for us, I hear that we can regroup with each other, you know, by yourselves in Christian community, and be recharged, and through rest and prayer and food and spiritual companionship with each other, we are renewed. This is what we do every time we gather to worship, to pray together, to support each other, and to open ourselves to the mysterious power of God reaching us in this context, in this prayer, in this experience of community and communion. Last week, we just finished up with Vacation Bible School, which interestingly had the theme of being shipwrecked on a deserted island. Come away to a deserted place. So we were shipwrecked together, all of us, on this deserted island. And VBS is a time away from the usual for both adults who offered the program and the children who took part, who became part of what it was. And through the experience, we were all ministering to each other sharing ourselves with each other. And I think all of us adults would say that we got as much out of it and experienced as much grace as the children who were our teachers too. Hearing them share their God sightings every night was wonderful, special. We were encouraged, all of us and the kids and the adults, to think about one night what we feel, what we touch, that reminds us of God's goodness. Like petting a dog, holding a friend. On another night, we were encouraged to think about what we smell that reminds us of God's goodness and therefore of God, such as a flower or food that we like. And after sharing, each child would take a sticker, to help patch the boat. And you can see the boat right back here. And if you can't see it that well, come up and look at it after the service ends, and you'll see there are patches all over it, including the sail. That sail was full of holes. But they took their stickers, and after sharing the God sighting, they patched it up, they mended it. The idea being that, of course, noting and sharing an experience of God mends the brokenness of life and gets us ready to sail once again. Now, we did rewrite and rework parts of this program entitled Shipwrecked, Rescued by Jesus. We had to rework a little bit of it with our Episcopal theology and ethos, focusing much more on God's grace and love than on sin, for example. This program is put out by a more sort of conservative evangelical group, but man, those people know how to do VBS. See? That's the thing. So we're learning from them, but adapting. Because focusing more on God's grace and love is so, so important. We in the Episcopal Church do this really well. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, does this really well. It's so important for children, of course. I mean, you wouldn't want to talk to a four-year-old about some of the stuff that was originally in that VBS program, but we don't want to do it with each other, with the adults either. The overall message of VBS was excellent and true, and we embrace it here every day, that Jesus God helps us in our day-to-day lives and has such great compassion for us all the time. And especially I hope and pray that we'll feel that in those times when it seems that our ship has been wrecked. Because God is with us to save us, to rescue us. And we can proclaim, as we did in hymn 645, "The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever." Amen.